This is Jimmy and Angelo. Give us a call at 381-1313 or tweet us at ESPN Radio Lex. Now here's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Happy Sunday to you. Make sure you're following us on all the social medias at Jimmy and Angelo on Twitter and at Jimmy and Angelo on Facebook as well. Let's get right into it. Kentucky, Tennessee last night. Tough game. Tough game. Tennessee comes out on top 17-13. It was a game of two halves, some would say. Because I would say Kentucky dominated the first half. Mr. Angelo, what says you?
Do I have to talk today?
I mean, yeah.
I don't really want to. There are a lot of things.
There are a lot of things that make
me really upset. And Kentucky consistently losing games they shouldn't is one of them. And as a Kentucky football fan my whole life,
yeah,
it's just, this is the way I see it.
The heartbreak.
It's 2 steps forward, mm-hmm. You can say 7 steps forward, I don't care. After last year, we jumped the program up so far just to take the one monumental step back. And that is to play Florida and Tennessee like every Kentucky team before them. It's no different. This is no different. It's to take the lead, to give hope. And I finally learned how to be a Kentucky football fan because mm-hmm. I was always like, no, this is a real team. This is a real boy. Like, it's really, really going to happen. Go up 13-0. And how
dominant.
Short in the first half. I mean, it was.
The first drive of the game was the longest and most time of possession of a drive in the Coach Stoops era. It was the longest time of possession. It was a 10-minute drive.
It was.
To start the game.
It was. And Kentucky went up 13-0. With 2:28 left in the first quarter, person next to me started talking about how this could be a blowout and blah, blah, blah. And I just said, man.
Is this your first rodeo, bro?
He was like, well, no, I know. And I'm like, no, you don't know. And what happened?
The rug got pulled out. He got
it was the last score of the game for Kentucky.
Yeah.
Was it 2:28 left in the first quarter?
Yeah. A lot happened. And I think the biggest part was Tennessee's defense. They regrouped and they said, you know what? We're going to make Lynn beat us through the air. We're going to stack the box. And we had talked about it yesterday at the roadshow from Campus Pub, which shout out to Campus Pub. Thanks for having us out there. And thank you for everyone who came out. But that's what we had talked about. When Kentucky played Missouri, we wondered, why did Missouri not stack the box against Kentucky to make Lynn Bowden beat them through the air? And you know, not that Lynn Bowden did anything through the air in the first half, but it was a different kind of defense. Just the flow of the game looked different from the first half to the second half. And when they came out in the second half, the offense could do nothing. The Kentucky defense was stout throughout the game. When you look at that stat line, their defense, Kentucky's defense, they're legit.
You're not wrong.
But when the offense can't do anything, like that's...
It was probably one of the defensive coordinator wise. It was good there for a mm-hmm. while, but in the second half when Garantano came in, I feel like Brad White might have had like the worst second half that he was calling, and that's what frustrated. We're gonna get to that in a second. I told you I didn't want to talk about the game.
Yeah.
Or you made me. Wow. You made me talk about it. But I guess it is my job technically. But this is why we have callers because Dennis from Berea is on. Hey, Dennis is going to help me get through this. Dennis, you're gonna have to help me today, bud.
Let it out. Let's go.
It's just so. It's not like pathetic's not the word because these kids try hard and they're not trying to lose.
Yeah.
But how is it that we can get kids from Florida, from Georgia, from Alabama, from Ohio, from Kansas, from Timbuktu, and all of them are inflicted with this same ugly curse that you go up on Florida or Tennessee and you have the game in your hands and somehow it just falls through like sand, like water through you. I don't understand.
You know, the thing you got to remember, Garantano beat us last year when he was a freshman. If you remember, he came into the game and just destroyed us.
I don't
go back to last
I don't
last
remember these things. I block all of these things out.
He went to visit the Men in Black, and he got the little... he forgot
her. But what gets me is, why is it... I mean, first of all, 13 points, we think, wow, we're going to score some more. We didn't score nothing else the rest of the game. Defense can't stay out there 70% of the time.
Yeah.
What Stoops should have done in his Yoda-type wisdom, I say that very loosely, you should have yanked Bowden right out. Not because he wasn't doing anything. Well, he couldn't do anything because they had 8 in the box.
Yeah.
Okay, so that makes a great point, Dennis, because, Jimmy, they finally did it.
Yes.
Tennessee finally did what I thought Arkansas, Georgia, and Missouri were going to do, which they failed to do. They only had one high safety just in case Bowden was able to leak out. And if you noticed, we couldn't run any bubble screens all game, and I noticed this as we went on. We put 3 wide receivers to the left of the formation.
To try to spread the field.
And they would put 3 defensive backs and then shade an extra linebacker slash safety because what they were doing, like Dennis just said, they were able to put all those guys in the box because they didn't have 2 safeties. So one of the safeties would shade over on these wide receivers. You can't go 4-on-2, which is what a screenplay is with all those defensive backs out there. And then they already had the extra safety. So like Dennis said, either they're 8 in the box or when they spread wide, they always have that extra defender that Missouri and Arkansas and Georgia didn't have.
Basically, what it came down to is the halftime adjustments that Tennessee made, Kentucky did not, you know, also do the same.
No.
They just came out and looked the same offense, and Tennessee was like, well, we figured it out, so here you go. And
that's right.
That's what we've been afraid of when we've been talking about the last couple games. Are they going to do it? Is Missouri going to? And they just, for whatever reason, didn't. And Tennessee showed it's an easy recipe to defeat this offense with Lynn Bowden if you just... our discipline on defense and stack the box.
If you just stack the box. Who would have thought?
And you notice Stoops has no faith in the kicking game whatsoever.
Oh, he was not happy. Because,
No. Wagner definitely was missed last night. If Bowden was going to try to pass, I would have said he would have gone to Wagner on a high pass, maybe get pass interference. I don't know. I mean, you know, feelings were high at the beginning of the season. Now it's like, on paper, we should win these next 3 games, at least 2 out of the 3.
Yeah.
You know, go 6-6, go to the Boy Scouts of America Bowl game there in Kennebunkport, Maine. And
man, you sent us as high north as you could. All the good bowl games are in the south, and he knows that. He sent us to Maine.
Oh, and it's not a dome either.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
You're playing in a cornfield.
You know, Eddie Grant, he can be really good at times, and then he gets dyslexia and dementia, and he goes back to that BS play calling. I mean, players probably don't trust the coaches. Coaches don't trust players.
That's interesting. Dennis, you've hit on 2 things that they talked about yesterday, and that was one of them. Well, not talked about, but I guess in the press conference, what people were trying to get out of the team.
Huh? Yeah.
And that's one of them was... is there dissension? Is there things going on with the team? And Lynn even slipped out a little bit. He kind of said that, he was impassioned by his speech that he was making after the game to his team, and he's trying to keep the team together. And one of the reporters asked Lynn if it was the play calling or was he seeing things or whatever, and Lynn acted negatively towards the comment, like, we're not going to answer those questions. This team is together. But I wasn't thinking after this game, is there locker room dissension? But for that to be brought up and for it to come out, even slipping through the cracks like that, I don't know what that means, but that doesn't mean everything's all good in Wildcat Town.
Yeah, if you do the eye test and you look at, like, Lynn coming off the field towards the end of the game, they were done. You could tell he was done. He looked like he was over it, where it's like, you're not giving us it, like, we can only do so much with what's being called. And it almost just seemed like he could tell that Tennessee made the changes, and they were just doing what normally works, and it wasn't. And his face just looked, and you can't even put it on Lynn. You can't find another guy in college football that puts more on the field than Lynn does. He gives it everything he has every play. So it's not, I'm not putting anything on him. This kid is one of the most determined and hardest working, just a stud player. And he's doing whatever he can.
Yeah, you got to be careful. This kid has taken some serious that's another thing why I understand why Stoops like, you know what, this kid has a future. Yeah. That's the UK. And you let him, his bell run like that, I tell you, that could be down the road. That, mm-hmm. that can cause this kid to have some serious medicines.
Man,
all I can say is, I don't know what Stoops is going to do, but you're not getting a raise this year, let me tell you.
Well, everybody was worried at the beginning of the week he'd leave for Florida State. Now everybody's trying to fire him like Alabama fans are trying to fire Saban.
Yeah. We'll take Saban.
We'll take Saban. Yeah, if we can work off this three-way
deal.
Yeah, this is good with me.
Hey, we'll throw in some Bergen, some Pepe Van Winkle. We could get Saban here. Come on.
Hey, yeah. I mean, okay. I was going to keep the Pappy, but okay.
I don't know what Alabama would give us. There's not much down there.
Dennis, thanks for calling in this morning, man. We appreciate it.
But overall, guys, I mean, this team's. I mean, we overplayed last year, but you know what? Well, this year, we are so far under our ability. It's not fun. You know, you can make jokes and everything. The bottom line, you go see an empty season.
Yeah, especially for the UT Martin game, I think it's not going to be very full, especially if we can't pull out the Vanderbilt win. But Dennis, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it, bud.
So, yeah, what do you think happens from here? Going?
Well, I'm not done. I'm not done with the game.
Yeah,
because I'm still upset.
Yeah,
and this is what I'm upset about. I'm upset about a couple things. You had no targeting in the end of the second quarter on the bell rung shot that Dennis was talking about.
Yeah.
No targeting on that, no helmet to helmet contact, no personal foul, no incidental contact, no anything. Okay. Gotcha.
Yep.
All right. You got Lynn with 10 minutes left in the third quarter. Lynn drops back on a third down. He trips, forces a punt, and it feels done. Like the game feels over. And honestly, a lot of the second half felt out of our control. It felt absolutely over, is the way it felt. But on third down, Kentucky gets the ball back with 4:45 left in the third quarter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're down by four. Feels like the game's lost again. Chris Rodriguez, who had a great game yesterday, one of the only guys that really overperformed, if you ask me, he got a pitch from Lynn Bowden on third and nine, reignited the team. In the fourth quarter, he ripped off a big run. But in the second half, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all it felt like, going down 17-13. And here's my thing. The offensive line, they played a lot. To be on the field for as long as they were, that takes a lot out of a lot of big dudes.
Yeah.
But in the end of the sequence for Kentucky, out shotgun the whole game, of course. Do you remember in the beginning of the game, Sawyer Smith came in?
Yeah.
For a quarterback sneak,
mm-hmm.
For a fourth down that got us the first down. It was on that 10-minute, 18-second drive.
Yeah, opening drive.
Keep that in mind. So Kentucky starts the drive with 7:44 left in the game. All right, at the Tennessee 45. They get to the 45-yard line, 36-30, 25-23, 20-15-12-6. Let's start here at the 6, okay? Rodriguez rushed for 2 yards. Let's get it down to the 4. Timeout, Tennessee. Bowden rushed for 2 yards. Let's get it to the 2. Penalty for a substitution infraction. This is all first and goal, second and goal.
Yeah.
We are now at the Tennessee 1 yard line with third and goal.
Mm-hmm.
And the offensive line couldn't win.
Yeah.
The offensive line couldn't win their one-on-one matchups at the goal line. And that unit versus their D-line unit and their linebackers, that's why Tennessee won.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, like not in that situation, we could have won the game. Why you run a pitch with Bowden and Rose, which Rose, outside of one big run, had I believe something along the lines of 15 yards on like 15 carries or something. It was because he had one long run, but if you take that, he averaged 2.6 yards a rush with that. You're on the goal line. Where space is your enemy at this point. So the running defense, a pitch isn't really, because you're both going lateral. You're going the same way. So you're hoping to isolate one guy, and it just doesn't work like that. Trying to isolate one guy and get him out there, and they're fast. It's Tennessee.
Yeah.
to not put Sawyer in under center and put two offensive linemen behind him, and I know he's hurt, so I'm not saying I want the guy to be an injury risk.
Yeah.
But if you're at the one-yard line after that penalty, which the ball was, put Sawyer in, put him under center, put two offensive linemen behind him, and have those offensive linemen push him into the end zone.
Right. He's a big body.
He's a big body, and the offensive line, they weren't winning.
Yeah.
So doing a shotgun play isn't going to help because that just gives linebackers time to eat up that space.
Especially trying to move laterally when there's no space. The defense is condensed down, so they have an added defender of the sideline and the back of the end zone. So you're condensing everyone, and then you're trying to spread the field, and there's just no room to spread it that way. If you're going to do something, do a little pick play where you have a slant and then a route out to the flats and try to pick the defenders and have Lynn just toss one out to, you know, that would have been a better play. Exactly, but I don't think he could, so they didn't. But
and I'm just, when it comes to it, put Marquon McCall back in the backfield.
Big boy.
Put any backup line, because Luke Fortner, unfortunately, did not have a good game yesterday. Actually had one of offsetting personal foul penalty. Just wasn't great. Landon Young, I thought, had a good game yesterday. But that unit at the goal line, they needed help. And the help is to put Sawyer in there. And you're at third down, and you have three timeouts. Just try to sneak it in there. That's the play. And when the only reason why I even say that is because Sawyer came in early in the game and did it.
Yeah.
There are tons. Jimmy, there is so much that I could be upset about and all of it. One thing I'm really upset about, Jimmy, is that Coach Stoops and Coach White both, they're not wrong. Okay, this is, before I say it, they're not wrong. But to blame the game with all of the victories, Kentucky led in possession of time by the largest margin I've ever seen.
Yeah,
41 minutes to 18 because they were of the seconds.
Right.
Okay. They led total yards, rushing yards. They led first downs. They led third downs, conversions. Tennessee was 3-3 in red zone scoring opportunities. Kentucky was 1-2. That was the only battle Kentucky lost.
And that's what counts.
He said that, Coach Stoops said that not getting it on the 1 yard line into the end zone was the difference between a win and a loss. I don't agree.
Well, technically. Yes,
technically,
because you didn't score.
Because you didn't score since 2:28 in the first quarter.
But that one singular play, that was not the difference. There's a lot that happened in between.
But the lot that happened, it seemed like they pinpointed. Coach Stoops also said that the point after attempt miss was frustrating because if Poor doesn't get that blocked, if that special team unit works, then you just kick a field goal there, put it into overtime. But he said the 50-50 balls were the reason that pretty much that was the number one reason why that we lost the game, even though we won all these statistical battles. Kentucky, which is bull to me.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because we knew it from the beginning of fall camp that this secondary was trouble, that it was going to be hard. And Brandon Echols had a good game. Corker had a good game. Jamari Brown had a couple really bad plays, but one pretty good play. Jordan Griffin had a good game. To blame the secondary that you recruited, that you coached, that you knew was inexperienced, guys, that's 8 games in. That was 9 games in after yesterday.
Yeah.
All right? This is not the young secondary's 50-50 balls because y'all coached the secondary into that position. So I understand that even though that is the reality, because of how Callaway performed, because Palmer, because of, Jennings was almost absent yesterday. He was a ghost yesterday. Callaway, though, my goodness.
They got some monsters. All three of their big receivers are 6'3", 210 plus. They're big dudes.
Yeah, Callaway, I would have Callaway on my team any day of the week. I'm watching for what year he's in the NFL draft. I need to check that out.
Yeah.
I just, to blame a group that you recruited, that you coached, that you couldn't, you know, especially as a defensive mastermind, and I mean that like sincerely, defensive masterminds that Stoops and Brad White are. I don't like, just because I'm criticizing them in this moment for blaming them, they are still two of the best. I couldn't imagine two better defensive minds to have on this coaching staff.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Like they are, and the recruiting classes that we are getting in to the linebackers once they switch over. By the way, Cash Daniel not been playing very well lately. say maybe instead of blaming the freshman defensive backs, you can blame your senior linebacker.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, like, maybe put on the onus of some of the older guys instead of the easy bailout. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But Coach Stoops, Coach White, still great coaches. Again, with everybody seems to be off of it with the after the FSU job came open this week. You know, Eddie Gran, we just gotta say, he to me is similar to a local auto mechanic. Okay, not one of the big shot, but one of the mom and pop shots.
It's not like a Pep Boys kind of thing.
Exactly. He's the type of guy that kind of reminds me of this. You could give that guy two pieces of bubble gum and a paper clip, and he'll stop your oil leak somehow, some way.
Yeah.
And you're like, thank you. Like Eddie Gran, that is, I don't know how you did that. That's what he's done the last three, four games. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know how you did that. But you can give him the newest set of toil, the snap-on tools, like the newest set that you can. You can give him everything in the world, a nice new bay, and he is going to do the exact same job that he had with the two pieces of bubble gum and the paperclip.
Yeah.
That, to me, is who he is. If you want to do another comparison, I'll keep going with the chef in the kitchen. You can give him the worst ingredients or the best ingredients, but you're getting the same meal out of it. And that's what I feel about Eddie Gran. I couldn't put my finger on it last year, this year, what it is. But now that I've seen, he had Terry and everything. It was going well.
Sure.
And then Sawyer comes in, not very good. You have to put Lynn at quarterback, making it work. It just seems like he'll make it work with whatever you give him, but there's so far of a ceiling. There is a cap.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing before we move on, give us a call, 381-1313, 381-1313, if you want to talk about the game. I guess the only other thing I would say is that it was brought up last night. How would this season be different if Terry was still here? He's still here, like on the team and in spirit and in body. I've just, you know... I didn't mean to make it sound
He's got one healthy knee.
Yeah, so. I saw a picture of him last night with Vince Moore. I mean, there's this brace that he has on his knee goes all the way up and is multiple strapped. It doesn't look healthy.
Yeah, no, those aren't fun to have. I've had one of those before. They're not fun to walk around with at all. One thing I will say is that last play of the game with that Batuli, he made a damn good play on Lynn Bowden on that option. I mean, he scraped across and he came right. I don't think Lynn saw him. Lynn saw the defender that he kind of pump faked with the pitch, but Batuli came through and he made a play. And that's, you know, that's all it is. I just wanted to give him props.
I respect that.
That was a good play. And just more props to Lynn. I mean, that guy, he's given everything that he has to this team. So
Lynn's awesome.
Yeah.
Lynn's going to go down as a folklore.
That's what I want to be taken out of all of this. There's a lot of criticism, but I don't want any of it from us to go on to Lynn Bowden. He doesn't deserve any of that criticism. He's doing everything that he can to try to get W's for this team.
Yeah.
And I think this, it may not seem like it, but I think this, his performance and his effort will help his draft stock. There's teams that are going to be seeing him do this. You said Jerry Jones has maybe been eyeing Lynn Bowden. Coaches and organizations, they see this. They see the effort. They see the heart and the determination, the blood that he's given to this team. And I think he's going to really help someone in the league.
Of course he is. So, I couldn't have said it better.
We want to get into some Heisman talk, how maybe the Heisman was won yesterday.
We're going to have to call this like Jimmy Phillips Heisman Corner.
I know.
There's never been a man I've seen so impassioned about the Heisman Trophy as I have you.
I like it.
I think it's awesome. I don't know. This Heisman race has felt the most boring. Oh, man. Now even ESPN's playing the highlights.
Yeah. Let's turn it off. It's fake news.
I know. ESPN, well, speaking of fake news, Alabama LSU.
Yeah. So we'll get into the Alabama LSU, the Heisman race, since Angelo hates the Heisman.
I don't hate the Heisman.
It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300, 92.5.
This intro feels like what Coach O for LSU walked onto the field with when he was about to play in Tuscaloosa.
It's a beast.
This feels militant. Like, just let's go. We're going to get this. Do you see how... I'll let you leave with that. You're the Troy guy. I'll let you do the LSU-Alabama talk.
Oh, yeah. It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300 and 92.5. Follow us on Twitter and the Facebooks at Jimmy and Angelo. Our number is 381-1313. Let's get into the rest of college football. It's enough of Kentucky and Tennessee. let's move on. Because there was a lot of big action yesterday on the slate of college football.
Oh, is that right, Jimmy?
There was lots. So much action. You had to go back
for
a second.
There was actually a lot of good action.
I mean, before yesterday, you were like, okay, Bama, LSU, big game, Penn State, Minnesota. That's probably it. But you don't know what you're going to get with that game. But there was some good game. The Oklahoma game came down to the wire. But let's just start with Bama, LSU. What everyone says, the game of the year, every year. You can mark it down whenever they play each other in the regular season. It's the game of the year.
You don't have to rub it in because we had a road show at Campus Pub yesterday, which was awesome.
Yeah.
It was, except for a Tennessee fan winning our cooler. Yeah, it was awesome.
Cool. He was cool.
Get it? Cooler, cool. He's cool. Cool.
Hey, what's up?
So after I left, like I said bye to everyone, I got in my car and a train hit right over off of Waller.
Oh.
And I got
train hit your car. I was like, wait, what?
I think I would have led with that. Probably led the show with that. I got the worst sinus headache I've ever had.
Oh no!
I've never had a sinus headache.
They're not.
I've never had one, and I literally felt nauseous. I felt zapped of all my energy, and I had to go all the way to Richmond to see my family. And as soon as I got there, 30 minutes before the LSU Alabama game, I took some medicine. I laid down. I took a nap.
No, I felt that bad.
This is the one game a year I keep saying it. I said it yesterday on the show. If there's one game in the college football calendar that I can watch, it's LSU Alabama. And this is what? The best LSU Alabama game maybe of all time?
I think so.
Maybe of all time, Jimmy?
You know, the boomers, so to say, they say the 9-6 Alabama LSU game was the best ever because it was a defensive battle. That's how football deserves to be played.
You said what one?
Okay, boomers.
One, chill out on the boomer thing. Number one, unless you're talking about the boomer Sooners.
I'm just trying to be trendy. That's what
I know. But wait, our audience, Jimmy, our audience.
All right,
we're already young. We don't need to call them boomers too. We don't need to alienate our people. Anyways, I was gonna say that. By the way, the 9-6 game was a classic. I'm one of the few people that thought the Alabama LSU national championship game was awesome. The 21-0 game?
Yeah.
It was awesome. That was what defense, that's what football is. And people outside of the South, because they don't know what football is, they were like, this is a terrible game. They should have never played. Oh, I'm sorry, Big 12. Do you want a high school defense out there? Because that's what you put out every single week for your people to watch.
They just like arena football scores is what they like.
They do. Go watch a basketball game if you want stuff that high scoring.
Which is what this game yesterday.
What has higher scores, Big 12 football games or Virginia-Syracuse basketball games? Because I feel like the Big 12 football game's just narrowly edged.
It's a constant battle between the two.
It is. I thought the game was awesome.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't get to watch most of it, I watched right when at the beginning of the third quarter when Alabama. Pretty much, I watched the Najee Harris show when he was just killing them.
It's not fair. You know, LSU has been called DBU. Some other schools linebacker. Penn State was linebacker U.
Don't say it.
Is Alabama? Are they RBU?
I'm sorry, but until the University of Georgia falls off the map.
This is true.
I got to give it to them. But yes, Alabama is one of the RBUs.
Nonstop. You just keep seeing the guys and they're like, oh, they're the same guy. It's unbelievable. The catch he had in the corner, come on.
Yeah, they lost Josh Jacobs last year. They lost Damian Harris to the draft last year. There's no way they produced another running back for the draft this year. Najee Harris.
They just continue. They've been doing it for 10 years since Mark Ingram was there.
So what did I miss? So all I saw was Tua and Najee kind of putting on a show because LSU was up 33-13, I think. And when I left the house, it was 33-26 Alabama.
So Alabama,
or the LSU still led, but Alabama came back.
Yeah, so Alabama had three huge mistakes in the first half. And you never see this within 5 minutes. So Tua had the fumble on their first drive. They were driving down the field.
Is it where it slipped out of his hand, just randomly in the red zone, right?
Yes, they were on the 10-yard line. And somehow, it's just one of those freak plays. He could carry the ball 1,000 times in his life. He's not going to do that again. No one touched him. No one was around him. The ball wasn't wet. He dropped the ball. LSU picks it up. So the next time Alabama gets the ball back, their punter mishandles the snap. It was a perfect snap. Right numbers high. Went right through his hand. So LSU gets the ball again with a short field. They score. And then Alabama gets an interception after LSU scores. They had 12 men on the field. So it's just back to back, and it's just continuous gut shots. And it's things with Alabama. One of my best friends growing up, he's a huge Alabama fan. We're texting back and forth, and he's like, you don't even know how to think. You just feel numb to that because Nick Saban teams don't do that. They just simply don't. It'd be like seeing the Patriots do it in the NFL. They just, those kinds of things don't happen, and that's why they continually have success, because you make the plays that you're supposed to make. You don't make those dumb plays, and that's what happened with Alabama. But when you watch those games, you knew the tide was going to turn. Eventually, it would happen. And
you did not.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Sunday, Monday.
Wait, didn't you take?
I did take LSU.
The line?
Yeah, I said LSU would cover.
And it was 5. Well, I guess LSU won straight up, so yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
you still had the point. You still knew it was going to be under 6, no matter what happened.
Yeah, I thought LSU, I never picked them straight out to win, but I knew they would cover. And I had a feeling they would win. But, you know, it was just one of, and then Alabama, of course, they had their run. They came back. And so that's what made it such a good game, though, is because you had the momentum, which is, that's what makes college football great. You don't see it as much in the NFL.
It's the greatest game of the year. In my opinion, it is the game, and it's because of that. The level of competition and the level because, you know, apologies to Auburn, apologies to Texas A&M, like Alabama and LSU have been the teams of the SEC. Apologies to Mississippi State. Like,
you don't have to apologize, Mississippi State.
I ain't apologizing to Mississippi State.
They don't deserve that apology.
They don't deserve any of it. So it's really Alabama and LSU have been the top dogs of the best division. Really, it's Alabama, LSU, Alabama, Georgia.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to go back and watch that game. I don't usually watch a lot of games that have already happened unless it's for usually just scouting purposes. But I'll go back and watch this one when I have the time because, like I said, it's a great game. And we had two Heisman candidates dueling each other.
Yes.
And we'll go to Jimmy Phillips's Heisman Corner.
Heisman Corner, Corner, Corner. So, I mean, really, I think this throws Tua out of the race for the Heisman.
It does.
To me, I don't think he's healthy. The way he was limping after the game, he came back from the injury, and you could tell Saban, you know, before the game and during the game, after the game, he knew Tua wasn't healthy, but he wanted to let his guy go and battle.
That's interesting because I feel like, one, Saban had his Belichick against the Ravens moment yesterday, and it's too bad that the college football playoff, if you don't win all the games, that you can't get in because this Alabama team does deserve to get in if LSU doesn't trip up between now and then, which even if they did, they'd still have the same, you know, tie, and LSU would hold that tiebreaker. It's a shame that situation you know, has happened.
Now, I will say, I don't think Tua's out because of his performance. He had 418 yards, 4 touchdowns. He did have an interception and the fumble, but it's going to be tough for him to win when he lost the duel to Joe Burrow. That's what I mean. Tua, he played a damn good game besides his fumble. Just, and you know, with everything around it, with his ankle being the way it is, that was a gutsy performance he had. He almost led him back to a win. But I just think when you lose that duel to the other guy who is now, I would say, the favorite, Joe Burrow is the favorite for the Heisman, yes? Or are you still on Jalen Hurts?
No, it has to be Joe Burrow. In what world is it not Joe Burrow?
I mean, it was the game of the year, and he had 393 and 3 touchdowns. Is that good? Is that good? To be 31 for 39?
I heard it's good.
I think he was 13 for 13 to start the game against Alabama.
That's amazing.
It doesn't happen. And the dimes that he was throwing, he was putting the ball on the money.
Well, let me ask you this. Joe Burrow's leading the Heisman. Who off Minnesota is a Heisman contender? Because they beat that fraud Penn State. And I try to tell people. I really do try to tell people about Penn State's not real.
When we were at the
Road Show. James Franklin's overrated.
We were at the Road Show yesterday. We were talking about it. You were talking about it.
Yeah, because you weren't on my side. Mm-hmm. You thought, you were like, well, Penn State's pretty good, and James Franklin's the coach to either go to Florida State or this or that or blah, 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 something. No, USC might have been it. No, it was USC. I heard some people talking about USC for James Franklin. Overrated. Now, I'm glad Penn State showed their true colors. Minnesota, with P.J. Fleck showing their true, a guy that's actually been linked to Florida State.
Did you see him after the game run and dive into the locker room to do like the crowd surfing?
Yeah. No, I didn't see it, but I heard about it.
He ran full speed, and he didn't really get much height, so he almost like T-boned the guys that were there waiting for him. But he needs to work on his elevation. Yeah, he needs to work on his elevation, so we need maybe do some weighted box jumps.
I don't know. It seems that seems like Big Ten coaches and players probably doesn't get a lot of elevation.
Yeah,
that was a pot shot at the Big Ten. Hey. I don't know why I did that.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5. We're talking college football. Two of the top four lost last night. So what?
Thank goodness Penn State lost.
Where does Minnesota go? That's the big question with all of this. Clemson's going to move up. LSU's going to move up. Ohio State will stay.
I mean Minnesota's got to move to the top 10.
You mean top four?
What?
Are they going to jump to the top four?
Get out of here.
I'm seeing this.
Get the hell out of here, Jimmy.
I'm seeing this.
Seeing what? Minnesota in the top four?
I've seen people put Minnesota at number four. So that's why I'm asking.
Okay.
How high up do they go?
Okay. Wrong. Those people are wrong.
Okay.
All right. You know when you can put Minnesota in the top four?
When is that?
Is when they beat Ohio State undefeated.
Okay.
If they don't do that, then they're not sniffing the top four. It is Minnesota. Let's be clear. Penn State was a fraud.
Mm.
All right. So that why would Penn State? I'm pretty sure I just tried to say Minnesota and Penn State as early.
You tried.
That's all I'm going to say it on. So I think that Minnesota deserves to be in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Where does Penn State fall? Penn State's out, right?
They're done. Yeah. It doesn't matter. I just say this. It doesn't matter where they fall. They're not going to be in the playoff.
If they beat Ohio State, though, and then they rematch Minnesota in the Big Ten championship game,
avenge that loss. I hope that happens.
I don't.
I just want chaos.
I don't.
I love chaos in college football.
Not chaos. The only chaos I want is if Minnesota going undefeated. If Minnesota beat Ohio State, I'd be there for it. I'd be there for that. I'd be there for an undefeated Minnesota team going to the, just because who what?
Yeah.
So sure. Like that's how I feel. Who what sure. That's where I would go with that.
That's the quote. Put it on the board. Who what sure. There's a comma in there somewhere.
Penn State drops out for sure.
Yes.
Clemson takes that spot.
Mm-hmm.
Got to. Clemson, this is why they set it up, was just for Clemson to just move up arbitrarily.
Yeah.
Does Alabama drop out?
Yes.
Why?
Out of the top four.
Why?
They did not look that great in the game. They came back and they battled with LSU, but...
I want to stop you there. No offense, stopping you there.
Okay.
Who's replacing them? And if you say Georgia, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Because Georgia lost to South Carolina in a poorly coached game. They have not looked good. And you're going to say Alabama, who faced maybe the second best LSU team I've ever seen, maybe arguably the best, but the second best one I've ever seen. And you're going to say that Georgia deserves to jump them? Okay, so if not Georgia.
Upon further review, you've talked me into it. I would have Bama at four. I would keep him at four.
I feel the same way.
Because you're right. The more you look at it, there are other teams that might be deserving.
Oklahoma, not yet. I think if Oklahoma goes the slate and wins the Big 12 championship game, fine.
You're not putting Oregon in there. You're not putting Utah in there. You're not going to put Georgia.
Now, Oregon and Utah, is my ignorance. Are they in the same division in the Pac-12?
That I'm not sure.
I would have to look that up because we...
No one really knows what happens in the Pac-12.
No, we don't.
They play at 10:30 p.m. our time. No one knows.
If they both win out and they don't get tripped up, and they play in the Pac-12 championship game, I have to think that the winner of that game is going to get in.
But then it goes
over an Oklahoma or over a one-loss Georgia. Even if Georgia wins the SEC, it would be hard to keep that Pac-12 champion out.
How many times does it come down to an undefeated Pac-12 team or a one- or two-loss SEC team?
Well, they're wins? Utah and Oregon both have one loss.
Yeah.
But they're both 7-8 in the college football playoff.
Right.
So I'm
looking up the Pac-12
It's just to the point where Oklahoma, I still think, should have a shot, even though they lost to Kansas State, to get in. And maybe I just love Jalen Hurts so much that's why I think that. Maybe this Oklahoma team. Maybe I think this Oklahoma team's actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which is fair. I just think that Oklahoma team, the Pac-12, if they have a one-loss champion, that you have those two. I don't see Georgia beating LSU.
Mm-mm.
I don't. I think Georgia's good. This is not their year, in my opinion. So I'm going to count Georgia out, okay? So that locks LSU in. Clemson's not going to lose, right?
Even if they lost and they
won the ACC championship, do they get in?
I would think so. So Utah and Oregon they're not in the same division. One's south, one's north. So the winner of that, if Oregon wins out that and they stay undefeated, you put them in.
Oregon does have, they only have one loss. I forgot who Utah lost to, but Oregon lost to Auburn. Mm-hmm. Auburn great team, in my opinion. Still a pretty good team.
Right.
I don't know. Just when it comes to the college football playoff, this one is going to be super interesting. I think LSU, I do end up thinking Ohio State, even though Chase Young, we haven't even mentioned Chase Young suspended for what is believed to be four games, mm-hmm. maybe down to two. Some drama.
Yeah.
In Buckeye land, and they're going to need him for this stretch.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. He's arguably the best defensive player in the country.
I think he is the best defensive player in the country.
He's so dominant. Speaking of RBU and all that, are they DEU? Defensive NU? With the Bosa brothers? I mean, it's recent.
That is kind of, the Bosa brothers, it's kind of just, you kind of genetically lucked out on that one. It was not necessarily that you groomed all of these recruits. Yeah, and two of them were. No, let's save defensive NU. I think we can find it.
Yeah.
But let's wait on that one.
Okay. So it's going to be an interesting end to the college football season, I'll say that. You want to know what else is going to be interesting?
What?
Kentucky basketball?
It is.
The hype train is real this year?
Because we've got, since James Wiseman's having eligibility issues, I think we have a new number one overall pick in the NBA draft.
Oh.
And he rocks Kentucky blue.
But who is it? Oh.
They know. The people know.
But we'll tell them next.
Okay.
How about that? All right. It's Jimmy and Angelo. On ESPN Sports Radio, 1300-92.5.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth.
Come on.
Bring them out, bring them out.
Hey.
Bring them out, bring them out.
Yeah.
Bring them out, bring them out.
Hey.
Bring them out, bring them out.
It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300-92.5. Follow us on Twitter at Jimmy and Angelo and Facebook at Jimmy and Angelo.
Let's go, Jimmy! Beat the number one team in the nation. You know who that makes us?
Who?
What that makes us?
What?
No, it should have been what that makes us. It makes Kentucky the number one team in all of basketball.
I was going to say, you want to redo all that? Like,
I can't. I'm not that talented. Okay. I'm sorry.
All right. So, Kentucky basketball, they're gonna be number one seeds, yeah?
They're going to be the number one seed, and we might have the number one pick.
Whoa.
On the roster.
Hot take.
Not that hot. Did you see Tyrese Maxey against... Let's talk about it.
I did.
Okay, so you saw the game.
Mm-hmm.
What was your biggest takeaway? Because mine was Tyrese Maxey.
Tyrese Maxey
He's a beast.
He can score the ball. He had 26-5 against Michigan State. The kid is a monster.
Now, unbelievable. Against the number one team in the... against the number one Naismith player of the year, Cassius Winston. Was that even his name? I forgot.
You forgot already?
Seriously.
Now, okay, so now you're saying... I don't know if you're being facetious or you're being for real. Do you think Tyrese Maxey has a legit chance to be the number one overall pick? Because in the mock drafts that I've been seeing, they're kind of disrespecting my man.
Okay, so a little facetious. Just a little bit. But a little bit. Okay.
We are also very early in the season, so you could just be ahead of the curve because you're in the heart of Big Blue Nation.
No, I think that Tyrese Maxey with his scoring ability, he looked to me like a smaller James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
Like with the way that he was able to get into the paint, he has a tremendous skill set. I mean, I just think that when it comes to the number one pick, I think an Anthony Edwards, a Cole Anthony, a James Wiseman will be up there. But Tyrese Maxey, why couldn't he go ahead of LaMelo Ball, who is a guy that's like an extremely top pro. I think that's your top five right there.
Yeah.
I think you have Wiseman, Anthony, Edwards in some order, and then I think it's LaMelo and Tyrese.
Yeah.
And it reminds you of De'Aaron Fox, Lonzo Ball. Mm. Back when Lonzo went second and Fox went five.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that. But I think those three are the top. I think that would be the top five of the NBA draft style wise. And I mean, this team they beat Michigan State.
And it looked convincing. It wasn't like, I don't know how they, you know, how you look at the final.
The only thing I was worried about was that it seemed as if Kentucky was winning by 15 when they were only winning by 5.
Yeah.
It felt like we were winning by 10 when we were only up 2.
Yeah.
That's disheartening because that means that we should have been winning by that much, but we weren't seeing the leaks. I think Michigan State might have just been so boring like that it was just a fact of that you just didn't notice when they scored.
Mm-hmm. So going from here, you look at Kentucky's schedule. They don't really face another big game until the week of Christmas. They play Ohio State and then Louisville on the 21st of December and then the 28th of December, respectively. So, you know, with this the next month or so, letting the team mold together and kind of figure things out. Do you think Kentucky is the hype real this year? I know that seems like a silly question to ask because they just beat the number one team in the nation.
Jimmy, it's a silly question to ask. They just beat the number one team in the nation.
Okay.
Sorry, what else were you saying? I just wanted to do that.
So the realistic expectations. Kentucky should go to the Final Four and they should win it all. But with this team, the way it's set up, and we'll be able to see the next month how the rotations are going to work. Is EJ Montgomery going to be fine?
Let me give out against EKU, Nick Richards had his Wilt Chamberlain Memorial trophy game because there's always times where big men that actually aren't like amazing happen to have these games. Scalabissier won the award a couple years ago for tricking me against NJIT for thinking he was going to be amazing. Then Nick Richards did it his, I think it was his freshman year, might have been his sophomore year, but he was putting up 25 and 12s against Fort Wayne.
Yeah.
And then he comes against EKU. He's 10 of 11 from the field. He's like got 21 and 10 with like four blocks. The guy was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And JaVale McGee actually was the winner in the NBA one year against the Cleveland Cavaliers because the Cavs didn't have anybody over 6'8", and McGee was out there looking like Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah.
He was the original recipient of this award, but Scal is an honorary member as well. So Nick Richards pulled that out against EKU. So anybody in Big Blue Nation out there, trust me, I want to buy into, but we can't.
Can't buy into
the Nick Richards hype right now. EJ needs to get it fixed. Tyrese Maxey, for those who didn't hear the stat, he had the most points ever by a freshman at Kentucky against a number one team.
That's not bad.
I thought he was fantastic. I think we've got a true star in Tyrese Maxey.
And a solid core around him, too.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a good year.
So we've got a little bit of change because usually when you hear this music, I promise it's coming.
This music?
When you hear this music, it signifies that we have quick hits.
Uh-huh.
We're going to do a little different with the segment today. We're going to call it Kentucky Proud.
Yeah.
And this Kentucky Proud segment is just a short segment to highlight some Kentucky natives that are going out and doing big things that you might have missed in the news cycle. And one of them that I'm sure that you didn't miss. You ready for this, Jimmy?
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Wow. Western Kentucky defeated Arkansas at Arkansas yesterday in a completely embarrassing fashion for the Razorbacks. Just for WKU to be able to pull off a win against an SEC team in that fashion, I thought that it was something that you don't see. Let's just say you don't see it every day. They became bowl eligible for it, and I'm trying to get the actual final score. If WK football would just show me the final score. At 45-19.
Nice.
So to roll through like that, I think that was one of the more impressive performances I say that you will see all year. Speaking of EKU and Kentucky earlier, Scott County High School star Michael Moreno,
shout out,
had his debut back at Rupp Arena from the tournament that he was at. So he's been there before, but made his EKU debut at Rupp Arena.
A little different debut this time.
Exactly. Yeah. For the Colonels. He is a true freshman. This is his freshman year, and he ended up leading the EKU Colonels in scoring.
That's awesome to see.
So Michael Moreno goes to a program where he can be highlighted right away.
Yeah.
So this is a guy, hopefully Kentucky gets EKU on the schedule for many years to come, so we can see a local kid kind of blossoming for our eyes.
A little homecoming
indeed.
Yeah.
Actually, this one's going to be a short quick hitter. Demarie Van Cleve, former Kentucky Mr. Football, scored against Clemson last week. We weren't here to talk about that, Clemson-Wofford, but that happened. So I wanted to shout that out. I accidentally turned off the music, Jimmy. So we're going to do this.
Our DJ, our live DJ in studio, fell asleep.
50-plus points for D'Angelo Russell against the Timberwolves on over 50% shooting.
Hey.
He's a Louisville native, and we rep even Louisville. As much as we might hate them, they are still hashtag Kentucky proud. And one more for you, Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Liberty basketball won their first game. And that doesn't sound like, why does that have anything to do with Kentucky?
Yeah.
Well, former LCA star Kyle Rode got the shout out from Liberty Flames in the very beginning when they went up 13-5 against Radford. Rode 3, 233 likes for our man Kyle Rode. He was a special player, maybe the best basketball player that I've seen come through Lexington since I've been covering with Varsity Game Night, which our season's coming up soon. Just want to shout out Kyle Rode.
Nice.
And that's our Kentucky Proud check of the week.
Love it. So coming up on Jimmy and Angelo, you know what 10 o'clock means every Sunday. It is the NFL.
Power hour, baby.
And guess who we got coming on the horn?
Oh, because it's halfway through the Bengals season, I'm guessing that we have a dragon.
The Tyler Dragon coming on. There's a lot to talk about for the Bengals. It may not seem like it when you haven't had a win, but we're going to talk to him. That's coming up on Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300-92.5. It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300-92.5. You know what time it is. It's 10 o'clock on Sunday. What does that mean?
It means it's the NFL Power Hour. Power. Do you like how we did that?
Power Hour.
Never been done before.
Never been done before. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Jimmy and Angelo. Our number is 381-1313. And speaking of the phone lines,
I guess there's someone that we like to talk to. We try to keep up every quarter poll with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
It has been a disaster. Mm-hmm. And someone that came from...
Some would say.
From a Cowboys beat to over here for the Cincinnati Bengals and the Cincinnati Inquirer, I guess... We're going to get a firsthand experience from Tyler Dragon of the Cincinnati Inquirer. Tyler, welcome back.
Hi, how y'all doing today?
Oh, we are doing terrible. Kentucky football lost to Tennessee, which is one of our major rivalry games in the absolute worst way possible, and I'm salty about it, Tyler.
He's very salty.
Please don't ask me how I am again.
Well, didn't the Kentucky basketball team win?
See?
I don't care about basketball as much as I care about football. Tyler, I'm just saying, it's still football season to me. I don't give up on my team.
Tyler, I've been trying to drag him out of this slump all morning, and nothing's working. He just keeps bringing himself lower into the quicksand. I'm like, help yourself.
Well, I guess one thing that can help me. Now, Tyler, before we talk about Cincinnati, I mean, this is pretty much talking about Cincinnati. Did you watch the Alabama-LSU game yesterday?
I did watch the Alabama-LSU game. Both quarterbacks played pretty well. Tua started a little bit slow, but that was to be expected with his ankle injury, having 20 days removed from surgery,
which is crazy.
And then Joe Burrow, he was pretty much lights out the entire game. It's going to be interesting to see who has the number one overall pick, because I don't think any of those two quarterbacks separated from themselves too well in that game, because like I said, Joe Burrow started hot and looked like easily the best quarterback on the field. But then the way Tua bounced back, and he was far less than 100%, he deserves a lot of credit for that and respect.
So talking about these two quarterbacks, Burrow and Tua, Cincinnati currently holds the number one overall pick in the terms of this tank race, tankathon, as we will call it. If Cincinnati ends up with the number one overall pick, who do you think, just right now, you don't have to marry yourself to this opinion, but who should they take? But more importantly, I want to know, who would you want them to take as a beat writer?
Oh, man, that is a tough one. I mean, it's hard to say a quarterback right now, even though that is everybody's answer, because Ryan Finley has yet to play, so you do not know how good of a quarterback he is.
Do we need to know how good of a quarterback he's going to be?
Well, we saw him in the preseason, and he played pretty well. Now, granted, that was against third and fourth stringers, so today is the first time he's actually going up against a legit ranked first string defense. So I want to see Ryan Finley perform and multiple games before I can make that decision. A lot of people do like Chase Young. He's probably the best overall player in the draft. The Bengals have been lacking a pass rush this entire season, so that would certainly fill one of the many needs the Bengals have. And when you're selecting one overall, most likely you are looking at quarterback, defensive end, or an offensive tackle, or if just somebody is just through the roof and just dominant at their position. And right now, there isn't really that dominant guy at the running back or at a guard or at a safety or defensive back position. So I'm probably more inclined to go Chase Young just because I have not seen Ryan Finley perform in live game action when it really counts. Mm-hmm. Now, after I see him play, I could go ahead and say, okay, well, Tua.
Now, that's a very judicial answer. I mean, I understand that. That's very so. Wait, whoa. Did you just tip your hand? So, if you could cover any of these top guys, you saying Tua?
I would probably say Tua, and I'm saying that because the Bengals don't really have a great offensive line,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to need a mobile quarterback back there. Now, Joe Burrow, he can scramble a little bit, but he's no Tua.
Let's say that he can scoot.
he's not Tua back there. So I think with the Bengals offense and the way Zach Taylor likes to run things, I would be leaning a little bit more towards Tua. Could you imagine the read option with Tua and Joe Mixon back there?
If they and
a healthy offensive line.
Yeah, if that ever happens. But yes, would be deadly. I just saw Tua limping off the field as hard as he could, you know, with that that surgery where they put a string around like his bones
or
whatever.
They played the graphic on the game, and it was like, oh, that hurts my leg.
Yeah. This is not his first experience with ankle injuries. He's kind of the Steph Curry of quarterbacks with ankle injuries. You hope it heals up so he can reach his full potential. But I agree. I think Tua is the guy that would bring the clicks, like to your articles, to your videos. He's the guy that's the star. He might actually put butts in seats, which Cincinnati's had a tremendous problem with. So let me take your over under 35,000. We can go announced attendance. I'll raise that bar up to 42 if we're going announced attendance. But in the stands today for Ryan Finley's first start, what did you think about the Andy Dalton benching, and what have you heard from around the building about how, you know, players and coaches alike are feeling about that?
On his birthday.
Well, it was interesting because a lot of fans were calling for him to be benched a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it actually happened, they kind of changed sides and really defending him. And it seemed kind of insincere because, I mean, at 1 week ago, you were all clamoring and all on your soapboxes and saying that you want to bench. And then as soon as he's benched, oh, well,
he doesn't deserve it.
He's the least of your problem. And so you can't have it both ways.
Well, let me tell you this, Tyler. Let me try. I'm not justifying that reaction. And if you dig deep into Bengals fandom, there are a lot of Andy Dalton truthers because of 2015. I think it's this. I think everyone thinks Andy Dalton should have been replaced by now. But for him to be benched when, honestly, he hasn't been really the problem this year, it's been the team. I think that's kind of, it's his last year of the contract. Let him play it out. Maybe Finley helps you get the worst record, and you do need to see him. But it was kind of that thing. Is I think everybody agrees that Andy Dalton shouldn't have been the starting quarterback for, I don't know, 8 years.
Yeah.
But if you don't have that clear replacement, then why are you benching him in the last year of his contract? But I guess, like you said, you've got to see what you have in Ryan Finley before you get into the 2020 NFL draft, because you know you're going to have a high pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Dalton has 2 years remaining. They can get out of it after this season, though.
Oh, now, is that the case? Okay, because it's pretty light on the dead cap if they release him after this year, right?
Yeah. Now, to me, I was, before the season started, and I figured if the season doesn't go the way the Bengals had hoped for, I was thinking week 13, maybe even week 12, to trot out Ryan Finley, because, I mean, 4 or 5 games, that's a pretty large sample size. But he has half the season.
That's a good point.
So, I mean, that means, I mean, your, you know, thoughts and feelings about Andy Dalton were probably already predetermined a while ago. Because to give Ryan Finley half the season, you are going to have a complete display and analysis of what he can do as a quarterback. He has a lot of games to prove himself. He has a lot of games to say that he's no longer, I mean, not a really good NFL quarterback either. So it's going to be really interesting to see how he performs in these games. I mean, today, he doesn't have a cupcake by any means going up against the Baltimore Ravens. This team likes to blitz. They blitz the Bengals 61% of the time in week six, and they blitz at the second most rate in all the NFL. And so he is going to get pressure, and he's going to get pressured often today. So we'll see how he performs. He's going to have the odds are stacked against him. Nobody believes the Bengals are going to pull off this upset today.
Yeah. ESPN Sports Radio 1300-92.5. Jimmy and Angelo here with Tyler Dragon of the Inquirer in Cincinnati. Tyler, there's been some talk about AJ Green and the situation with his injury and his future with the Bengals. I've heard, now this is just talks on Twitter and, you know, how some people are, that he's not really that injured. He just doesn't want to play this year for Cincinnati and he's ready to move on. What are your thoughts and what is the talk kind of around the facility?
Tyler, what's going on here?
What is happening?
So AJ does not want to be on the field until he is 100%. Now, I think it's not that cut and dry. I do believe that a part of him feels like he wants to have a contract and have some stability before he gets on the field as well.
Right.
But it's not just, it's his injury too. I mean, if you're not 100%, and even if you're 95%, why risk it in going on the field when your ankle isn't all the way healed yet?
Exactly.
And why is Cincinnati even wanting him to?
Yeah.
Yeah. For an 0-8 team, you're not going to the playoffs. You have, I mean, you see the light into the tunnel. Your vacation is going to be on December 29th, the last game of the NFL. After that game, you go on vacation.
Yeah.
So you have 2 months left in the season. What you're only playing for pride at this point. You're not going to the playoffs. So why push it?
Yeah, and a guy like AJ Green, he doesn't have anything to prove to the team.
Yeah. No, he doesn't.
He's proven himself.
He is a loyal soldier. Mm-hmm. Man, that guy is the franchise in Cincinnati. He is the franchise.
Yeah. So, and he still believes he's one of the best receivers in the National Football League, and he wants to be paid that way as well. And to me, it's going to both sides. You have to be able to pay the man if you want him to go out in the field and risk re-injuring that ankle or something else.
Right.
Because he's not going to go on the field unless he has some type of stability for the future.
I think the only thing that I see as an issue overall in that capacity is that AJ Green, he really does, like I said, deserves to be that. It confuses me because Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap got those big extensions. Now, you can argue the only player other than AJ is Geno that's done more for that franchise. But to give Dunlap the extension and then to just kind of tiptoe around AJ's extension, maybe Cincinnati's just, when your contract's up, you know we're going to pay you, blah, blah, blah. But why not give him the extension? That's just kind of what confuses me more than anything. And it's a weird situation, mm-hmm. but he's the franchise and they should take care of him. Last football really thing, because we already had your opinion on Baltimore or Cincinnati. I don't think any of us need to talk about that. So he's saying there's not going to be a letdown from Baltimore. Sneaky game? Trap game? No, I'm just kidding. So what did you hear around the building at trade deadline? What direction is this franchise going in, and what were the rumblings behind the scenes?
The Bengals don't believe in trading their assets to make another team better. They are opposed to doing that, which is inexplicable in my opinion, because to me, this team is in clear rebuild mode, and the best way to rebuild your franchise is to trade away some of your veteran key players to get draft capital. And they had a prime opportunity to do that at the deadline, and they just pretty much set in their hands. And so the Bengals, really, they're in this place of the unknown where they feel as though that they still have the roster to compete and to be a contender in the AFC North, but in reality, they don't. So there is this little bit of being delusional.
Oh, you can. Yeah, I think that's about the right word to use.
So I knew they weren't going to make a trade, but at the same time, I felt as though they should, and they had a prime opportunity, as good as any other team in the league, to expedite this rebuild, because teams would trade maybe a second or a third for maybe Carlos Dunlap or Geno Atkins. Andy Dalton, even though Cincinnati fans don't like him, he will probably command a first-round pick for a team like the Chicago Bears.
Mm.
Interesting.
First-round pick.
So interesting. That, if that's the case, round. Wow.
Yeah.
So that's got two first-round picks in this year's draft. You can go out and get a Tua or a Joe Burrow, and then you can get maybe a wide receiver to replace.
To be fair, Tyler, Chicago's pick's going to Oakland next year, or this draft. For the Khalil Mack trade, so it would have to be next year's first.
Okay. Yeah. If it was.
But
just as an example, he could command a first-round pick in return for him.
And that's crazy that they didn't. Yeah. If you could get that type of value, that is crazy that you wouldn't let that go. I mean, it's...
And I'm guessing he had to have been shopped because there are teams who need a starting quarterback, at least a quarterback that's proven he can just be – he's capable as the starting quarterback. He's not going to be the elite guy, but he's been a starting quarterback for almost a decade.
And they has Cincinnati, last question on the football front, has Cincinnati committed to a rebuild?
No, they have not.
Oh, my.
What is it going to be?
0-9? What is the point?
In fairness, no team really flats out and goes out and just bluntly says we're in a rebuild.
Miami.
I mean, the Dolphins haven't really done that.
They won a game.
We just can see the product on the field, and it's blatantly clear that they are in the rebuild. With the Bengals, it's like, well, we want AJ to return. We're trotting out a rookie quarterback, which is the first indication that they're in a rebuild. Mm-hmm. But they still say each and every week that they are trying to win these games, and they still have some fight in the season. So they have not committed to a rebuild, even though they should.
All right, Tyler. Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking football with us. But. You're not going to escape that easy. Are you ready for your mid-season questions of the city of Cincinnati?
I think I am. I hope I get the same type of questions I got last time.
Well, you went 2 for 5 last time. You did a little better than I thought. But we're going to kick you off. We'll go easy on you at first, okay?
Yeah.
So let's start off with the first question. The Cincinnati Reds won 2 World Series in the 1970s. That team is affectionately known as what?
The Big Red Machine.
Yes. You got it.
He got it.
All right. You recovered from last night. That is correct.
He did his homework. He remembered.
That is correct. The Big Red Machine. All right, so that is the first one down. I feel like he's going to sweep these. I don't want him to yet, but I feel like he's going to.
Angelo's still salty. He's just trying to be salty to everyone.
Jimmy, this is our guest. Yeah, don't tell him. We can at least pretend.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the next one for you, Tyler.
This television host was the mayor of Cincinnati from 1977 to 1978, and then something happened with some people. And he was taken out of office as the mayor. Who was this person?
Jerry Springer.
Correct. Dang 2 for 2.
Dang it.
I think he's getting good. He's on to us.
All right.
A little fun fact about Jerry Springer. How about that?
Thanks.
Yeah.
All right, your third question. There's no way you're remembering this one. The Ohio River is ranked the what largest river in America by discharge volume?
Second.
How about that?
I'm not like he's already 3 for 3. This is not how it was supposed to go, Jamie. This is not how it was supposed to go.
We need a halftime adjustment.
Yeah, we need to. All right, hold on. Tyler, close your ears. Jimmy, how are we going to do this? What do you think we're going to do? Do we have any questions? All right, we're going to pull this one out. All right, we got it. All right. We're giving you the Bill Belichick of questions now. You're not going away that easy. Yeah. All right? You're not just sweeping us today. Are you ready for...
That's all I care about.
You got over half. That's all you care about. You can't be a true Cincinnatian until you get all five. All right? Yeah. So here is question number four.
What area code do you need to dial to reach someone living in the Cincinnati region?
Well, you have to dial 1 first and then 513.
Unbelievable. That is correct.
Jimmy! That is correct. What was that?
He hasn't been there that long. I didn't know if maybe he knew. This last one, though, this is our ringer.
We're now your enemies. You were supposed to come on, and you did us a favor by waking up early and coming on our show. But you know what, Tyler? The tables have turned. We've got you on this one, okay?
Well, this one should be extra credit because I said the one before.
You did.
Oh, that doesn't matter. I should take points off of you for putting the one. I'm not even okay with it.
There's a plus sign and then a one.
Yeah,
it's true.
If you're international calling,
that is true. All right, Tyler. Question number five. If you get it, you win. But if not, you're going to get the questions back next week. Or not next week. Three quarters of the way of the season. Yes. Anyways, since 1999, Cincinnati has hosted an annual marathon on the first Sunday of May. By what unusual name is this race known?
That is a hard question.
Yes,
now.
It is. this is our ringer that we've had.
I'm sorry, Tyler.
We had to go to the bullpen
for this
one. Is
the pressure mounting?
Flying Pig Marathon.
This is incredible.
I hate this.
Wow.
I hate this.
Well done.
This was supposed to be the end of the year. We crown him as a Cincinnati native, and halfway through, I guess with the Bengals losing season, you just get indoctrinated that way. He's already a true set. Well, thanks for ruining our bit, Tyler. It's over now. We can't even do it anymore. You went 5 for 5. Did you look it up on your phone?
Make sure y'all tweet that I went 5 for 5.
We do need to, because last time
No. When we review the tape, I want to show you how long it takes him after he said this is a hard one and then gets the correct answer, because it sounded like he had no idea, and then all of a sudden he just gets the Flying Pig Marathon.
Whoa.
I'm accusing you, sir.
Are you accusing me of cheating?
Look, these are Angelo's words, not my words.
Jimmy Phillips is the one that texted me that he thought something was suspicious, so blame him.
How dare you?
Wow. You just have to accept the fact that I got 100% and I aced your quiz.
He did ace a quiz.
I guess I will. First held in 1999, the Flying Pig Marathon attracted the third largest field for any first-time marathon in the United States. By 2008, the field had grown to almost 5,000. In 2011, the women's division of the race was won by a blind runner.
I was actually in Cincinnati for the Flying Pig Marathon this past year. I didn't run in it, but I was like, what is this? Why are there flying? What is the flying pig thing? So, yeah.
Well, Tyler Dragon, congratulations. We crowned you a true Cincinnatian.
And we will tweet this out. We will give you credit for going 5 for 5.
Yeah.
Well done.
All right, Tyler, I guess I'll see you later.
Okay. Have a good day.
Thanks for coming on.
Bye.
I can't believe he won. It wasn't supposed to be this early.
I know. You can follow him on Twitter at @TheTylerDragon. I was really not expecting him. I was get a couple of them, but that Flying Pig Marathon, I really thought that was going to be the one.
I blame you.
I guess I'll take the blame for this. Don't really know why. We do have our NFL picks coming up for Week 10. Who will be the pick king? Will Angelo keep his reign? Find out. It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5. It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. It's the NFL Power Hour, week 10 of our NFL picks. So overall for the season, Angelo is 77-43-1, and myself, I am 75-45-1. You got a two-game lead on me, boy.
Pick king.
Uh-huh. That's what they say.
And we both are started off 1-1 or 1-0 this week. We both picked the Raiders.
Yes.
In action on Thursday night, which, you know, betting against Phillip Rivers is, unless you're a Packers fan like me, it's usually a good idea.
All right. So to kick it off, Lions at the Bears. Now, this was the line as of yesterday. Bears are favored by 2.5 at home. Big news recently. Stafford is out. He has fractured bones in his back.
Yeah,
that's not good.
Matt Stafford having trouble with more back injuries with Detroit. They have Matt Stafford out and Kerryon Johnson on IR.
Yeah.
Not only do I think the Bears are a winner tonight, I think that it's safe to play their defense in fantasy, and that might get you a very good game, even though they've gotten gashed in the run game recently.
Yeah, I was going to go Lions with this, but I've got to go Bears also. I don't even know. It's tough for the Lions offense. I like them this year, too. They were a good team, but the injury bug got them.
Baltimore at Cincinnati, we already both picked Baltimore.
Baltimore, Cincinnati.
Does Cincinnati cover? Because they've had a tendency to be within a score at the end of these games.
Maybe with, I just totally blanked, Ryan Finley coming in, maybe there's a bit of a spark. I don't know. I do not think
I'm going to cut that. I just blanked. So good.
Story of my life.
It was so good.
All right, up next, Bills at the Browns. Browns are favored by 3 at home.
Fine. Vegas knows better than I do. That almost convinces me that Cleveland's going to win, but I'm done. I'm done picking Cleveland. Mm-hmm. I'm finished, Jimmy. I am finished.
So,
Buffalo.
Buffalo? All right. I am also taking the Bills on the road. I don't trust this Browns team until they prove that they can be trusted.
I mean, I've just picked them so many weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. I mean, against Denver. I mean, you can't beat Denver with Brandon Allen at quarterback.
Yeah.
So, I mean, here's the thing. I believe Vegas, so I probably think Cleveland will win just because Vegas, they know more than I do about this stuff. But I'm going Buffalo.
Yeah.
I can't trust I cannot trust Cleveland anymore.
Mm-mm, nor should you.
Not that I ever did.
The Chiefs, who will have Patrick Mahomes back on the road with the Titans. Chiefs are favored by 6.5 on the road in Tennessee.
I want to pick the Titans because I love Derrick Henry in the run game, but it's Chiefs all day for me.
Agreed. With Pat Mahomes back, I'd take the Chiefs. Even if he wasn't there, I would probably just their offense is so good.
Yeah, they played so well against Minnesota and Tennessee's a similar team. They just have a worse quarterback. So I just can't see this being a situation where the Chiefs go to Nashville and lose.
Mm-hmm. Divisional game here. Falcons on the road against the Saints. Saints, last I checked, were favored by 13.5.
Unless the garbage time touchdowns at Atlanta, like when they came back against Seattle, Matt Ryan's supposed to play today.
Yeah.
I'm going New Orleans, man. And it's the thing is that are we really going to see this Atlanta team with a top five pick this year? That would be the biggest surprise for bottom five team.
Yeah.
I think if we did the season over again, that's the biggest surprise.
Yeah. I'm going to go Saints also. I can't trust the Falcons. I want to. I love Matt Ryan. I love Julio Jones and Freeman, but they're not getting it done. Giants on the road, technically. Against the Jets at the Meadowlands. Giants are favored by 3. Who you taking?
CJ Mosley's out for the Jets. I think he's really important to what they do defensively. I would maybe try to pick them because there's no way the Jets can only have one win on the year. Well, they lost to the Dolphins. I'm going Giants. I mean, here's the thing is I think both of these teams are bad.
Yeah. You kind of look, which trio would you rather have today? Jones, Barkley, and Golden Tate, or Sam Darnold, Le'Veon Bell, and Robbie Anderson?
Probably the second one, even though Barkley, I think, is the best player out of the six. But
my gut tells me go Giants, so guess what? I'm going Jets.
You're just trying to catch up. And that's what's going to get you further behind the pick, King. Jimmy is not going with your gut, which is the Giants.
You're up by 2 picks. That doesn't really count.
I'm sorry. I'm wearing my crown. I couldn't hear you.
Yes, you are.
Is this the worst Jets-Giants game ever?
It's up there. There's been a lot of bad ones. Next, we've got the Cardinals on the road against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Bucks are favored by 5 at home.
Is this the biggest toss-up game of the day?
It could be, and it could sneaky be a very high-scoring, great game.
I think it could. Well, I think it's going to be entertaining. I think that Arizona, as chippy as they've been, Tampa, I don't want to say it because it feels wrong, but Tampa might actually be the good bad team, as Bill Simmons likes to put it in his part. They're the bad team that just happens to have like good moments, good games.
That's their quarterback. That's Jameis in a nutshell.
And Tampa apparently has one of the best run defenses in all of football. Yeah. Not like Arizona's really going to try to run the ball. This is a toss up. This is one of the games on Red Zone I'll be keeping an eye on, but I'm going to go with the Buccaneers.
Are you? I'm going Cardinals on the road. I'm all about some Kyler Murray.
All right.
I've been on him. He's my fantasy quarterback in 4 of my 5 leagues, so I kind of have to go with him.
That's fair. That's fair.
All right. This will start the late slate of games. Dolphins on the road at the Colts. Colts are favored by 10.5 at home.
Is that before the Brissett injury
news
came out?
Yeah, that was before. So
I almost want to pick Miami. I just think that Miami still wants to lose, and Indianapolis is still the better team. So I'm going to take the Colts.
Yeah, even with Brissett, like, I don't see Hoyer being that much different than Brissett. To me, the way that their offense is run, I don't see it being that much different. So you said you're taking Colts?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm taking Colts. I just can't buy into the Dolphins yet. I can't buy in as if they're going to win anymore this year. Panthers on the road in Lambeau Field with the Packers. Packers favored by 5.5 at home.
This is not a hot take. Daily fantasy. If you have a chance, which you do, you know, spend the top dollar on Christian McCaffrey today because I think he's going to go off. But the Packers are going to rebound after that Chargers loss. You're going to give me, you are going to give me, Jimmy, Green Bay at home. And I saw that it was pretty snowy here recently. I wonder if we're going to get a little bit of snow today.
Is it going to snow there?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to go with the Packers also. I just, at home, Aaron Rodgers has been very good this year. And Devontae Adams is back.
And Aaron Jones is awesome.
Aaron Jones is good. Is he going to have another 4-touchdown game like he did a couple weeks ago? Maybe. Rams on the road in Pittsburgh. Rams are favored by 4 going in to Heinz
Rams Steelers. All day. I don't even want to talk about it.
You don't think the Steelers can maybe try to figure out it's...
Nope. Nope.
I also think Jalen Ramsey is going to shut down Juju.
I don't think Juju's playing.
Oh, is he not? Last I saw he was questionable.
I'm not 100% sure. It seemed like everything was pointing to him not playing.
Right.
Or it was Deontay Johnson, James Washington, Jalen Samuels, that group.
Oh, that's rough. Well, yeah. I guess I didn't say it. I'm going Rams because of all those things you just said.
Okay,
there.
That makes sense.
Vikings at the Cowboys. That is the Sunday night game tonight. Cowboys favored by 3 at home.
Oh, I thought the Tampa-Arizona was more of a toss-up, but I cannot get a feel on this game.
This was the last game for me to pick. I went through all of them, and I just couldn't decide.
Jimmy, I'm struggling here. I'm going to let you go for you. I've been going first this whole time. It's your turn.
I'm taking the Vikings. Sorry. I think the Vikings are going to come in. It's not Jerry's world. He rents it out to whichever team comes there to play.
No, it's Green Bay. Then we rent it out to whoever.
Right.
It's like
a sublease.
It's our house.
Airbnb. Yeah,
sorry, Jimmy. I'm still wrapped up on 2 picks ago when I was with Green Bay. I'm upset about the Chargers loss. I'm upset about the Kentucky loss. I'm upset about... Sports are supposed to be fun. I got to recover. I'll take... You know what? It's a bad pick, but Minnesota.
You're taking the Vikings?
I'm just looking at the defense, and I think the defensive line of Minnesota beats Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Even though I don't think the Cowboys are bad.
I hope it's a good Sunday night game, though.
And when have we had a bad backs? Sunday night game?
Battle of the running backs? Dalvin Cook, Zeke?
I would go Dalvin this year. I think Dalvin Cook's been better.
Agreed. Seahawks, 49ers. 49ers are at home and favored by 6.5. That's the Monday night game. Potential NFC Championship game preview. The
Monday night games, referees like to give it to Seattle. Defense hasn't been great, but Russell Wilson's been fantastic. The defensive line for San Francisco is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But
uh-oh.
Quan Alexander being out, I think, changes the team. And I think the San Francisco team in the second half of the year is not going to be as good as the first half. And I think Quan Alexander was the MVP over Nick Bosa on that defense. I truly do.
Yeah.
I truly mean that. I think he was the guy that made that. He's the one that stirred the drink, even though if Nick Bosa is the top shelf, you know, liquid that's in the drink, you still need the straw to stir it. And that was Quan Alexander. I thought he was the MVP. I think with my gut tells me San Francisco, my mind tells me Seattle, just because I don't know. I'm gonna let you pick this one again too.
I'm taking the Niners. I can't go against my guys. They're 8-0.
All right, I'm gonna get easy money here. I'm taking Seattle.
I wish you would. Go ahead.
They're not going undefeated, thanks, Jimmy. Seattle. They're not
the
going.
Niners?
The Niners are not going undefeated. As much as you want them to, I can see it in your eyes. I can see the hope and the passion and the want.
It ain't this week.
It's not gonna happen.
It ain't this week. It's not this week.
I hope the 49ers win because I can't stand Seattle. I hope their first loss is to Green Bay.
Could be Josh Gordon's.
We should watch the Green Bay 49ers game together.
You know how late that comes on? You know what time I got to get up? Do I want to sound like an old man right now?
I mean, can you give me a back in my day or something? Like, yeah. I want to know. Hold on. Schedule. I just had it, and I clicked on schedule, and I didn't even mean to. It comes on at 4:25. What do you mean how late it comes
That's
on?
That's Pacific time. The Monday night game?
Do you know what the Monday night game is?
It's Seahawks 49ers.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I want to watch the Green Bay 49ers game with you.
Oh, okay.
Which is in week 12 at 4:25.
Then yes, we can watch that game. I was like, where did you get the Green Bay and 49er game?
Let's take a break, Jimmy.
Okay, let's do it. And then when we get done with this break, we will give you our fantasy expert opinions on
very loosely on my end because I have not had a great year.
Who's going to be the sleepy fantasy guy this week? We'll let you know. It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5. It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5. Make sure you're following us on Twitter and Facebook at Jimmy and Angelo, and 381-1313 is our phone number.
And before we get to our fantasy, Jimmy said expert picks. He can claim he's an expert. I am
it's
no fantasy
quotes.
Expert.
You didn't see the air quotes?
No, I didn't, Jimmy. And okay. I'm sure our audio listening audience didn't either. But, Antonio Brown not expected to return this season. Guess I could have told you that and broken that news.
That's a hot take.
That is a hot take. That's supported by ESPN, just saying. But we have Al on the line, so let's get Al on. Al, how you doing?
Hey, Jim and Angelo. Sound like y'all was jabbing and doing some jamming to Missy Elliott. Cut a little bit there.
Mm-hmm. You know, a little bit of Leah, a little bit of Missy Elliott. We try to get the whole thing in.
I think it was a good mix, man. I like that vibe. I like that jam.
Thank you.
You know, it's funny how you can take and look at and listen to music and know who the artists are when you listen to enough music. And I think that Tennessee and Florida, they know that playing Kentucky, that the song at the end of the game is going to be Rocky Top and whatever the Florida, I think Florida do the chomp chomp.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think that Kentucky just go out there, and I don't think that they understand that you got to beat these teams. You got to beat these teams on your home turf so you don't go another 18 years without beating them. You can't have backup quarterbacks to come into the game and march up and down the field, throwing skinny posts and hitting wide open receivers. You can't make the offensive coordinator on our team cannot get down on the goal line and not have a goal line package. The two best goal line plays I've seen since I've been watching sports was William the Refrigerator Perry when he was playing, I think, against Denver. He ran in for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Andre Woodson against Louisville did a pump and then hit somebody. It might have been Burton in the end zone on the 1 yard line, which was a great call by Joker Phillips. The worst goal line play that Alva saw, other than the one that was played that Kentucky didn't have last night or couldn't get over the goal line, was Seattle Seahawks going in the shotgun against the Patriots and that Butler kid intercepted when you had Lynch in the backfield.
Yep.
I think that you got to have a goal line package. I don't think that you do Tim Tebow where you run and jump up in there and throw the ball, but hell, I think you try to do something like that as well.
Right.
I think you gotta have something on the 1 yard line, guys.
You think a quarterback sneak maybe? Maybe get Sawyer Smith in there since earlier in the game on a fourth down, you put him in for a quarterback sneak and he got 2 yards. You don't think that with third and fourth down at the 1 yard line, you'd put Sawyer in there just to push him into the end zone?
I think you put Sawyer Smith in there before that. I think they were scrambling, they were committing 8 guys to the middle to smash the runners and to get Bolden. Although smoking them was running outside. I think that you go and you get a couple series and you give it to Sawyer just to keep the defense honest. In college football, the middle of the field is always open, but I agree with you 100%. I think you put Sawyer Smith in just to mix it up, have Lynn Bolden go in motion behind him some kind of way and just cram up the middle and try to score the ball. You just can't lose these type of games, man. I mean, Eddie Grant, you know, everybody's saying bad things on Facebook. I thought that Dusty Bonner did a great job filling in for the reporter that Tom Leach and them used. Mm-hmm. He would be a great offensive coordinator if they ever interview again for that job. But Eddie Grant has been a big disappointment in games that you should win, particularly against your rivals, Tennessee and Florida.
And it's funny that you mention all this, Al, because running the football the way Kentucky does is about as traditional and old school and is the foundation of football as there's ever been. And the most foundational play of short yardage situations in the history of football is the quarterback sneak.
Yeah.
And to not go to that well when you can. It's definitely surprising. And like I've said about Eddie Graham before, he's a, you know, you can give that chef any set of ingredients and he's going to make the same meal. So, and, you know, and I think Kentucky fans are sick of eating it.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that on these particular Sundays, when you lose those particular games, it reminds you of Lucy pulling the football from Charlie Brown. That Lucy did allow Charlie Brown to have a good Christmas when she let him go and pick out the Christmas tree, and it was a crummy Christmas tree that she gave him that. We beat Florida last year, so that was a Charlie Brown Christmas. You lose to Florida when you should have won this year. You lose to Tennessee when you should have won on the goal line. This is a Lucy Christmas with Snoopy on top of shoulders, egging on. So, yeah, you can't have these conversations. And guys, real quick, and I know you got other callers. These are the games that you lose. These are the times when Kentucky fans hope that you win in football. Now they go full force, the Big Blue Nation turn to basketball and go watch the Calipari show, and football is forgotten. And if you win these games, you're still going to have a certain
like last year
of fame, like last year, man. And you got to win. You got to win these type of games. So,
Al,
you
thank you so much,
job, man. I appreciate you taking my call. Enjoy your day.
I really appreciate the kind words, Al. Thank you so much. And remember, you can call in any Sunday, 9 to 11, to join us, Jimmy and Angelo, here. But right now, we're going to give you our fantasy predictions from expert Jimmy Phillips and treading water fantasy football player Angelo Carriero. So let's go ahead and get to it. Jimmy,
yeah.
I got a quarterback for you. If you're in a two-quarterback league and you just hate yourself like I do, you can play Sam Darnold again. Because last week against the Miami Dolphins, I thought that was a for surefire guy to play, and that didn't work out. But you think against the New York Giants, where every other quarterback in the league this year has done a phenomenal job of tearing up that secondary, you would hope that Sam Darnold can too. But, you know, I'm just not sure anymore. But, of course, you've got your Lamar Jacksons, your Pat Mahomeses, your Drew Brees. Those guys, of course, I think are going to – and Kyler Murray, too, I think are all going to ball out. But, I mean, if you're looking for a lower-end guy in that scenario, I think Sam Darnold, and a guy that's ranked low on here – and look, ESPN fantasy expert's a little better than me, but Jared Goff seems a little low at 14. I think against Pittsburgh, they have a pretty solid defense, but Jared Goff can get the ball out. Brandon Cooks being out maybe has lowered his value, but yeah. I think they'll find a replacement.
Interesting. I do like, for a lower quarterback, I had Kyler Murray as one of the big starts at quarterback for me this week. Aaron Rodgers, another one. But Ryan Fitzpatrick against the Colts.
Interesting.
Fantasy, he gets it done.
He does.
And season long in fantasy, if you look at their last three games, I believe they have the Giants as one, the Jets as another one. They have a very good playoff schedule for fantasy football players. So I know you're not going to like it. Your tum-tum's going to hurt when you put him in as your starting quarterback. But I think Fitzpatrick gets it done.
I'm not trusting Matt Ryan this week.
No.
I don't like him against New Orleans. I know a lot of that is predicated on garbage time, because if New Orleans goes up 28-0.
Which could happen.
And everything starts to slow down. They play prevent defense. That's where Matt Ryan, typically this year in fantasy, has been able to get a lot of his points. But I think even then, New Orleans, statement game, great defense. I think they're the best team in the NFC. So I'm not sure about the Matt Ryan play this week. Is there any other quarterback that you're kind of worried about?
The only one I had was Stafford, and he is out. So I know it was a late announcement that he was going to be out. He's got fractured bones in his back. So, yes, he is on my sit list. But even before that, I was kind of hesitant playing him against the Bears. So that's all I got for quarterbacks.
For running backs, mm-hmm. A running back that I like today, and I think people have gotten worried because of Jamal Williams' amount of touches, is Aaron Jones. Carolina's run defense has been kind of the Achilles heel of their defense, as good as it's been. I think Aaron Jones is primed for a good game today, especially if that snowy cold weather is going to be a part of the effect in Green Bay. Aaron Jones looking to get some carries today against a leaky Carolina rush defense. So, you know, that's not as hot of a take, but because of Aaron Jones's production this year,
mm-hmm.
Jalen Samuels is a guy that if you still on your waiver wire for some reason, or you have him as a flex option, he's a guy that had 13 catches last week, and he is pretty much their primary receiver with Juju Smith-Schuster out on the field. So yeah. Jalen Samuels with James Conner still out, that's a guy that I think is going to be extremely productive, especially in PPR leagues.
Absolutely. I just looked in Green Bay. It doesn't look like there's any snow. It's just going to be cold today.
Okay.
So I think David Montgomery at running back going against the Lions that I was just talking about with Stafford being out. I think David Montgomery has a beast of a game today. I mean, I don't know what else the Bears offense does. Do you think that we could see Mitch Trubisky bench today at some point? Do you think that could happen?
I mean, I don't No, probably not, because I think the Bears are going to beat the Lions.
You think so?
And why would they? If they brought him back already, I think that they're committed to him for the rest of the year, and we'll see what they do in the offseason.
Yeah. So I think David Montgomery, one of the running back starters for me today.
I would say that going up through here on the list that we have, it's funny because I'm seeing a lot of these guys that played on Thursday night pretty low on the list, and I guess they didn't rank them because they already played. But let me say this. Ty Johnson of Detroit is a sleeper guy that you can pick up. He's going to be getting a lot of the carries now that Kerryon Johnson is on IR. And the Bears defense, as much as I think they will be successful today because of the injuries, they have not been spectacular in run defense. So I think that's a guy that you could play.
Even with Stafford out?
Even with Stafford out, I think that this might be a good flex option. If you're desperate, if you have better choices, I'm not saying starting him over Mark Ingram or anything. I'm just saying that he's a flex option that if you needed him, the Bears' rush defense has been great. Last thing on running backs from me is this week is the return of Kareem Hunt. So if you can pick him up this morning, and nobody knows about that yet, Kareem Hunt is a guy that I think can help you towards the end of the stretch, especially with Cleveland's offensive woes. Remember, Kareem Hunt was a top 5 to 10 fantasy running back before he was out in Kansas City due to his the videotape being released.
Right.
Kareem Hunt is a guy that if you can stash on your bench for a week or two, let that kind of age like fine wine, get him out on your fantasy lineup, you're set there.
Love it. I will say Derrick Henry at running back. I do not like him this week, only because when you play the Chiefs, the game script usually gets flipped so quick. Pat Mahomes and the offense is so good. I don't know if Derrick Henry is going to be able to kind of start that dominance on the ground where you just eat away at the defense.
Unfortunately, we are out of time for the rest of our fantasy picks. Can you give the rest of yours that you have listed?
I just had a sleeper, Zach Pascal, receiver for the Colts.
I have him starting in two leagues.
Yep, I think he's going to be a good sleeper today. Or Mike Gesicki, tight end for the Dolphins.
I have him starting in a league too. Because it's because my teams are bad. I don't have good players instead. Well, I have to go for sleepers.
But this is a huge bye week. So if you needed a couple guys to replace on bye.
I have a ton of bye week players this week. But if you have any fantasy questions and you want anything answered coming up, you can tweet us at Jimmy and Angelo. Just tweet us with your fantasy football questions and we will reply to you before the 1 o'clock games hit and you can set your lineup.
And we wish you luck this week. It's Jimmy and Angelo. We'll be back with you next Sunday like we are every Sunday, 9 to 11, right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.